Okay, it is 11:25. I am calling this meeting to order. Apologize for the delay. We needed to get our sound system set up. I want to welcome our audience here, and I'll let you know in a minute. And just want to point out that we have a speaker's sheet. If anybody wants to sign up, it's over here on the table, and you can speak for 3 minutes in the public comments. I am Craig Alderson. I am the secretary of the board. My understanding is that neither the chair, Carol Travis, nor the vice chair, Ramses Taon Nichols, will be here today. So the chair defaults to me. And before we get underway, I would like to, we need to take roll. I've asked Margie Wilkinson whether she would be willing to do that. I hope that's okay with everybody. And if so, I'll pass the attendance sheet to her and she can take roll. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Craig Alderson.
Here.
Virginia Browning.
Here.
Malcolm Bernstein.
Here.
Brian Edwards Tigert is in New York. Jose Luis Fuentes. David Gans is somewhere else. Donald Goldmacher.
Here.
Kate Gowan is unable to attend. Mark Hernandez is unable to attend. Cynthia Johnson.
Here.
Janet Cobran.
Present.
Jack Kurzweil.
Here.
David Landau, Joy Moore.
Present.
Samsara Morgan.
Samsara is ill, cannot make it.
Thank you. Andrea Pritchett.
Present.
Louis Sawyer.
Present.
Frank Sterling.
Here.
Kate Tanaka.
Here.
Ramses Taon Nichols, Carol Travis are not here. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Burton White.
Here.
Margie Wilkinson, I am here. Rich Withers.
Here.
And Quincy McCoy.
Here.
Thank you. Okay. We have 17 members present, and we have a quorum.
I move we excuse all absences.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any objections? Okay. Now, what I would like to propose is I would like to step aside and continue as the secretary and take minutes for the meeting. And I would like to propose, I've asked Burton whether he would be willing to chair. And I would like to propose that to the body, if that's acceptable, whether anybody has any objections. Burton was the chair prior to Carol, so he's cut his chops on this board. And I hope that's okay with folks. Okay, no objections. So, Burton, would you like to come up?
Thank you, folks. And the next item is the approval of the agenda. We are now on item number 3. Craig.
I just want to point out that we need to take a break sometime around 1 o'clock.
I think I worked it out.
Okay. But we'll need to take a break at some point, correct, for the recording?
I got 5 hours of recording time.
Okay. Never mind. No breaks.
Oh, please.
No.
Okay, we are. If the Joy. Oh, sorry, I just.
I'd like to propose that we move the item 16, new business KPFA bequests up to a time certain spot in the agenda, because the end of it, we'll never get to it. We never do.
Do you have a recommendation for the time service? And Magda, you were next.
Point of order.
Pardon me?
Point of order.
I was just going to move the adoption of the agenda so we could talk about
Okay, this is on the floor, so point of order. Didn't you ask for a point of order?
No, that was Margie.
Margie fixed it.
Margie called out the point of order.
It would be very helpful if we find if we wait until we find out what Margie or other people had to say before we object to it.
Nobody objects to
We have a motion, and my question to the maker of the motion is, you said a time certain. Do you have a time certain to offer?
Yes. After the break, before the Pacifica Bylaws Amendment.
Okay, so between, move it between
move it
10 and 11, is that your?
Yeah.
Please, folks, allow me to.
1 p.m.
Okay, I'm sorry to do this to you, Joy, but I want to be absolutely clear.
Yes.
One is a place in the agenda, the other is to a time certain, which?
Yeah, I want it time certain.
Okay, 1 p.m.?
Yes, otherwise we won't happen.
My understanding of the motion, listen to make sure I get it straight.
Yes.
Is that we move item 16 to start precisely at 1 p.m.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. Janet.
I have a substitute motion.
Okay.
And that is to amend the agenda to move for a time certain executive session at 11:50, and I have it written down, for 60 minutes to carry out the PNB's November 5th motion regarding Coburn's October 2015 director's inspection on the Hall Trust bequest, as Coburn noticed to the LSB on Monday. And then I'd like to motivate it if there's a second.
Okay, you say you have it written. Could I get it so I don't have to read my scrawl? Just a sec till I get it up here. Jack.
Excuse me, I'd like to motivate my motion.
It's been seconded.
First.
Will you?
It has been seconded.
Just a moment, folks.
That's fine.
I just wanted to know, were you asking for the floor to debate or for some other reason?
I was about to ask for the floor to ask a question, but that perhaps can wait until after the motivation for
Thank
the motion.
Thank you. All right, then, Janet. No, we don't.
Okay, I'm volunteering.
May I?
Please.
Yes. So on November 5th, at a PNB meeting, there was a motion passed as follows, that Coburn's 10/28/15 confidential updated chronology analysis of the $400,000 bequest document based on her October 2015 director's inspection at KPFA, along with the associated documents, be shared with the KPFA LSB at the November 14, 2015 KPFA LSB meeting and with other LSBs. And it was called during the meeting to be done in executive session. I noticed this on Monday, and there was a response. This was on email from the secretary saying the board can decide whether the bequest issue warrants executive session and also the time allotted for it. However, I want to point out that the LSB is a standing committee of the PNB and cannot make autonomous separate decisions based on what the PNB decided. It cannot not follow what the PNB decided. So this needs to be on the agenda as, you know, per my amendment, an executive session for 60 minutes.
Let me, folks, please bear with me. I did not know that I was going to be thrust into this position, and I want to do it correctly. I missed, Janet, when you made reference to a prior document, was that an email or a minutes? You read from something in your motivation. I missed the source.
The source, it was a PNB meeting motion that was passed on November 5th.
Thank you. I see the following hands. I had seen Jack's. I see Mal's. I see Craig's. And I see Jose Luis. And that is the order.
I have a point of information.
To offer or to ask?
To ask.
I recognize a request for information.
I don't understand Joy's comment that she accepts the substitute motion. What does that mean procedurally?
Can I respond?
Please.
In the interest of less chaos and confusion, I'll withdraw.
Okay, there's only one motion on the floor. Does the seconder withdraw? Does the seconder of Joy's motion withdraw?
Andrea seconded.
Pardon me?
Yes.
All right, it's taken care of by both people. We don't have to argue it. Jack, the order of speakers that I have as of this moment, Jack, Mal, Craig, Jose Luis, and other people if they need to speak. Jack, you have the floor.
Okay, a couple of things. The first thing, I'm sorry?
I don't think it's
number one, as a member of the local station board, I can tell you that I never received the notice that Janet refers to. Therefore, the notice that she's talking about does not apply to me. Second, executive sessions are for personnel matters. I have no idea what personnel matter is proposed to be discussed in this executive session. And since I have no idea what personnel matter is to be discussed, for example, an evaluation of the general manager, an evaluation of the program director, the subject of executive sessions is always announced, and it has to do with personnel, not with policy. So, again, I want to know explicitly, publicly, for the record, exactly which personnel matter this proposed executive session is supposed to deal with. For those of you who don't understand the import of this, I would suggest that you go see the movie Trumbo, where McCarthyite Star Chamber sessions are part of the 1950s culture, and I would not like to see that reimposed on KPFA by a secret discussion held at the Pacifica National Board, the content of which we have no idea about. No secrecy.
May I clarify?
No.
Okay. So I'd like to get on the staff.
Yes, you are on the list.
Well, it's hard to follow the. Is this on?
It's hard to follow that eloquent comment
but I'll try. First place, executive sessions are, as Jack says, for limited purposes only. This is a public institution, and whenever possible, we need to conduct our business in public. Executive session is also a procedural matter and not a substantive one. So while the PNB discussion may have involved matters which should be taken up in executive session, I see no reason for us to do that. I have railed it against executive sessions in the past. It seems to me the PNB does too much of that, and we should not emulate them. We need to be as public as possible.
Craig.
Well, I'd like to point out that the language Janet cited does not instruct this board to consider this issue in executive session. It says that Janet's confidential director's report shall be shared with the local station board. So it's up to us to determine whether this is something that should be held in executive session or not. And it's my belief, my strong belief, that the whole idea of transparency in local station board and other board operations, it applies precisely to financial issues. That's why transparency laws and transparency procedures were adopted. Now, what's been circulated publicly is something that's extremely damaging to KPFA and to Pacifica. There are all these claims about fraud and mismanagement and abuse of authority, et cetera, et cetera. It's circulating. It's being cited by candidates. It's on web pages, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we, the board, owe it to our members and to our possible bequesters and to our donors to have an airing of this issue. Transparency is the fundamental here. Now, we're not under obligation to hold this in executive session. I think executive session is absolutely the wrong thing to do. And if Janet insists on that it is that we are being instructed for executive session, I think the board should take the principal position that it's not going to be in executive session because this is extremely damaging to KPFA, to its membership, and to the organization as a whole, and it needs to be aired.
Jose Luis and then Janet. And Janet, before I recognize you, I have a comment to make that I would ask that you consider addressing. Please, Jose.
I have an amendment to the motion, and that is that the motion be moved for a time certain of 1:30 and not be at any point before the GM and treasurer's report.
Is there, I hear a second.
Second.
He's amending Janet's motion.
Yes. My friends, I ask for your cooperation because we can get into, waste all our time in procedural, and I think we should get to the substance on it. Janet, the thing that I was going to bring to your attention and ask you to address in your remarks is, as chair, I see two things in your motion and am on the threshold of dividing them. And I wanted to serve advance notice so that you could deal with it. And that is dealing with moving it to a time certain is item number one, and whether or not it is to be in an executive session is a separate issue and decision. So I am on the threshold when we get around to it of asking of by chair dividing the question both first to the time and then to the question of whether it's an executive session or not, so we don't get all entangled into our debate. We are now to discuss the substitute motion by Jose Luis.
It's an amendment.
Amendment. I thank you very much for the correction. The amendment that the time 11:50 be changed to 1:30, and that in no case that it come before the report of the general manager and the treasurer before this board. It has been seconded. I don't see any hands. Is there anybody objecting to our moving to a vote on the amendment? I see no objection, and I'll read it. I've just been handed it in writing. That Janet Coburn's motion to be addressed after the general manager and the treasurer's report at 1:30, but not before those reports. Andrea.
That's not the amendment.
Microphone.
Point of order. That's not Andrea, point of order.
Okay, hold it a second. Point of order comes first. Go ahead.
What you read is not the amended. The only amendment was that it would be changed to 1:30 and not 11:45.
No.
Everything else is the same.
No.
That's just wrong.
Oh.
One chair, please.
I'm better.
My understanding of the motion and the notes that I took at the moment, that it come at 1:30 and in no case not before the report of the general manager and the treasurer.
What's the it?
Pardon me?
What's the it?
What's the what?
It.
You said it.
The item.
Which is what?
Your motion.
Okay.
Now,
can I, just a point of information?
Point of information.
I'm asking a question. I'd like to get information.
Yes.
About, if we begin in open session, but if our discussion, I admire and respect the desire for transparency that has been voiced by so many, and I think also it's urgent. My question is, I just want to clarify, we can begin in open session, but if our discussion of the way these monies were handled begin to involve specific employees of KPFA, Mr. Chair, wouldn't we have to retire into executive session?
This board is in control of its procedure, and it's an understanding of the bylaws. I would think, I'm responding as an individual, therefore, I would think that the board could make that decision at an appropriate time.
So just to follow up, if
excuse me for a moment, if I may. First of all, my understanding of a point of information is to offer it rather than I've got to ask backwards. Go ahead.
So the follow-up question is, therefore, if Janet's motion, if she's suggesting that it be an executive session, could we then infer or clarify with her that this discussion might involve the discussion of particular employees of KPFA?
I think those matters have to come before the board. I cannot, and I don't think the board at this point can speculate about things that might come before it.
Point of order.
Folks, look, please, we can.
Point of order. May I have a point of order?
One of the points that a chair is obligated to do is to take up such matters as questions from the body. Now, if you will cooperate with each other and with me, we'll get through this. Janet, you are recognized.
Yes, so my point is that there is an amendment on the floor that needs to be disposed of one way or another, and depending
please,
on that.
A little bit louder, please.
There's an amendment on the floor that needs to be disposed of one way or another, and then there's the main motion, and there's a stack that I believe I'm next on the main motion, depending on what happens with the amendment. Can we proceed with that.
That was my intention until I was interrupted. Thank you. The question, last question I got was by, it was a question from you, Janet, about whether the amendment by Jose Luis was just for the time certain or it dealt with the reports. We've clarified that. Are we ready for the vote on Jose Luis's motion, which he has given to me in writing, which is that the Coburn motion be addressed after the general manager and treasurer's report at 1:30, but not before the general manager's and treasurer's report. Is there anyone who does not understand the amendment? Good. We are ready to vote. All those in favor of Jose Luis's amendment that I just read, please raise your hand. Will the secretary count?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 14, 15.
Those opposed? See none? Abstentions? See none? Then we are now voting on the
Stack on the main motion, please.
I beg your pardon?
Stack on the main motion.
The
as amended.
How many chairs have you appointed for this meeting, ladies and gentlemen? The main motion has been amended. Therefore, that is the issue before us. All those in favor of the... Oh, I beg your pardon.
You have to call on the speakers on the main motion as amended.
That is correct. First of all, I would appreciate any time that I make a mistake that people call me on it. I do not appreciate people giving me an advanced script of what I do before I fuck up. Will the secretary review where we are on the motions, please?
Okay, so incorporating Jose Luis's amendment, the main motion now stands as to move for a time certain into executive session at 1:30, but not before the general manager and treasurer reports, for a 60-minute executive session to carry out the PNB motion. Does that capture it?
And now on the debate, and the next person on the list is Janet Coburn, and you've got the floor.
Okay, and I'm not going to address what you requested during this time. If you want to give me another turn, I'll do that, about splitting. So the PNB discussed this matter in executive session, did not say make it public, that if and it called for this LSB, this standing committee, to discuss it in executive session. And I do not want this LSB to defy the PNB. And the documentation includes actions by individual employees and also might compromise other individuals. And so that's why it would be in executive session, and that's why it was with the PNB.
Mr. Chair.
I see Frank, and hold on a second.
I asked to be on the list.
I apologize, I didn't see you. I saw Frank first. Margaret, you're on the list. Mal?
For second round, right.
Second round, so you come after anybody who has not spoken. Jack, is that your hand? No, okay. Here's the way it goes.
You gave the mic to me before.
Frank, you have the floor. Margaret, you have the floor. Both of you, first time around. Craig, second time around. Please, you have the floor, Frank.
Okay, so I hear what Janet's saying about the executive session, but it seems like everybody wants to be an open session, so I just think that whether it's determined to be an executive session or not, I think it definitely needs to be moved up, and I feel like it's until like what Andrea was saying, if we get so deep into it, then we feel like it, maybe we should just, you know, do it at that point. So maybe there's a way to kind of decide in the middle there that, A, we'll just start in open session. B, if it gets too deep, we make the choice at that time instead of just arguing about it at this point. You know, maybe we could argue about it then.
Thank you. The next person is Margie, and my apologies for not seeing you. Janet, second time.
I just want to say that I was one of a very small minority on the PNB who voted against having this discussion in executive session at all, and I think the point that Craig made was the most important one. It has to do with the question of how we handle money, and that our fiduciary responsibilities and how money is handled is the most important issue to be dealt with publicly. And so I support that, and I agree with Frank, and I support Burton's notion of dividing the issue so that we can vote on the question of a time certain, but not commit ourselves to an executive session until we see what's happening.
Nobody who has not yet spoken has asked for the floor, so I'm about to move to the – oh, Barbara.
This may seem like a kind of fine point, but I agree with the notion that this is a discussion about how money was handled. And if it makes people feel better, they could use the title of anybody that they're talking about and not the name. This is why this is the fine point. But this is not a discussion, for instance, about evaluating the performance of the general manager or the business manager. Those are under different situations. And I think when we're talking about this handling of a bequest, and there has been confused information given out already, I don't see any reason for this to be in a secret session. I'm sorry, Janet, I don't really care that the PNB voted that. I think it was a mistake. I think that, oh, dear, there's one more point I was going to make here. I just think it should be public. I think this should be a public discussion about this handling of this money. I think there are facts that are not included, I'm sure. I know the point I wanted to make, it was really kind of a question, Mr. Chair, that I would like to put before the maker of this motion. Is there any specific accusation that is contained in your document that you're submitting about this? It sounds as though there are vague references to the possibility of some incorrect handling. And I don't think, unless there's a specific accusation, there is any reason to even consider an executive session. And so we can wait during the discussion if there is an accusation that comes up. Maybe that's the point at which we should talk about whether or not it should be an executive session.
All right, I'm going to try to move this on swiftly, but I don't want to trample on anybody. I don't see anybody who has not yet spoken once seeking the floor, so I go to the list of people who want a second turn, and the people that I have on the list in order are Mal, Craig, and Janet. Have I missed anybody? And Jack. Okay, Mal.
This item has already been used in the election campaign, and it's been used publicly to blacken the name, the character, and the performance of people. So it seems to me that at the very least we ought to give them a chance to respond in public and not bury the response in executive session.
Okay. Craig.
Okay, the motion on the floor contains two elements. One, that it will be at 1:30 time certain, following the two reports. And the second, that it will be an executive session. I just want to point out again that there is nothing that instructs this body to hold it in executive session. No statement from the PNB, no statement from the PNB chair, no resolution that instructs this body to hold it in executive session. Now, I move that we separate the questions, divide the question.
Second.
All right, procedural motion. There's a motion to divide the question into the time certain and the issue of executive session. You seek the floor, Andrea, for what purpose?
Clarification.
You have the floor.
Mr. Chair, if the amendment passes, but the main motion fails, does this mean that we're not having any discussion of this item? Or shall we assume that the... do I need to make a motion, a substitute motion that says there will be a public time certain
no.
discussion?
Let me see if I understand the purpose of the motion correctly. It in no way obliterates any part of the motion. It merely says take it up in separate parts. So we would just vote on the time certain as one thing.
Time certain for what?
To have a discussion.
Is that a public discussion or
a discussion? And the second vote is whether that discussion should be in public, essentially whether that should be in public or in executive session.
So is it...
Go ahead.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to clarify is whether, in fact, what was offered is an amendment or perhaps a substitute motion. It seems like this, if there's that much substance to it, it seems like it serves as a substitute motion rather than an amendment.
Which one motion are you referring to when you say, when you
refer? Janet's proposal says that there should be...
What is the amendment to Janet's that you're referring to?
The one that was put forward by Jose Luis?
And that has been passed by this body? That one?
What I'm trying to clarify is whether or not I need to offer a sub... I want to make sure that this conversation happens. Okay, and my understanding is that we haven't...
It will happen. Please bear with us. Hey, you're not recognized. We already decided to take it up. The question is...
I just want to be clear on what we're voting on.
It's going to come up. It's clear. It's clear.
It's clear to you. What you need is to make it clear to me.
The answer to your question is that it will be discussed in this meeting if we ever get to it before we're forced to adjourn. Please.
Okay, I just want to remind people we're still reviewing the agenda, right? Okay, we're still trying to figure out what's going to be on the agenda and in what order. Right? And Janet's motion was to make it for a time certain and go into an executive session. Jose Luis made an amendment which now supersedes because we approved it. So Jose Luis is now says 1:30 time certain following two reports. And Janet's, and now the full motion includes that plus going into executive session at that time, correct? And I requested that we divide the question so that we can vote on these separately and vote them either up or down independently as part of the agenda review. And then, of course, we'll need to adopt the whole agenda as amended.
Point of information.
I'm sorry, who said that? Janet?
Okay, so the issue of dividing the question, shouldn't that happen during the voting, not be a separate motion to discuss?
Look, can't we possibly move it? If you want to get to the discussion, let's go on, please. There is going to be the opportunity for this board to decide how we're going to arrange this meeting if we get to it. Okay. All those in favor, let me start a minute. Does anybody want to speak to the motion to divide? Janet.
Well, I want to talk to speak to the part where it refers to executive session.
Wait, we're not even there. Whether we're going to get to that one way or the other.
All
please
right.
Just decide how we're going to take steps toward it. Does anybody want to speak against dividing the question? Seeing none. All those in favor of dividing the question, which merely means instead of taking it up together, taking it up in two steps. But taking it up. All those in favor of dividing the question into two steps, please raise your hand. Thank you. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. It would have been wiser for me to ask for objections, but that's the way I started it. Okay. It is divided. Now, the first thing that we're going to decide on two things on the agenda. Whether we move it in time, and after we finish that decision, we will address the question of executive session.
Point of information?
Point of information.
Didn't we already vote to have it at 1:30?
No, that was
the main
motion. We now have to vote on the main motion as amended.
Which is 1:30.
Divided.
Okay. All those in favor, and of moving item number 16.
No.
I'm sorry. Correct me.
That's not the. No, it's
Janet's
motion.
Janet's motion. Move
item 16.
The Janet's motion, my friends, is to amend the agenda to move an item to a time certain. My understanding is that that item you want moved.
No.
Create a new item. It wasn't on the writing. New item to a time certain, which is 1:30, but not before the General Motors and the Treasurer's report. All those in favor of that portion. Let me do it a different. Anyone object to that change? Hearing none, that is done. The second one is, shall that discussion be an executive session? That is before us at this moment. Janet, you are recognized.
Okay, well, first of all, some people here said that this is just going to be a discussion of how money is handled. That is not what this is. It is that Coburn's 10-28-15 confidential updated chronology analysis of the $400,000 bequest documentation based on her October 2015 director's inspection at KPFA, along with the associated documents, be shared with the KPFA LSB at the November 14th KPFA LSB meeting with the other and with the other LSBs. That document is confidential, and so you can't have it both ways. You can't have it public, and you can't have a discussion of a document that is over 150 pages that you don't have yet. But you can't have that when it deals with staff actions in public. If this fails, if it is done in public, then I'm prepared to make the document public, and you know, so that
okay.
You, all right.
I hold your hands up. I see Craig. I see Jack. I'm sorry, there was another hand at this table. Come in. And Jose Luis? Have I missed anyone?
You got Donald, right?
Donna, you requested it. Sorry, I got you out of order, but I have you on the list. Craig.
You're just out of
order. Once again, I'll point out there's nothing in that language that instructs this board to have an executive session.
Okay.
Number two, we're all smart people. The document may be confidential, or you may consider it confidential. You can distribute it to the board. We can keep our lips zipped if any on the names of any individuals. As Barbara says, we can describe them in more general terms. We don't have to share that publicly or with the audience members. We can discuss this. Like I say, we're smart and clever people. I think we can manage that. And both Frank and Andrea are absolutely correct. If it gets to a point where it looks like further discussion of personnel issues and potential disciplinary issues or accusations, none of which have been made so far, if it appears a discussion of those is in order, then yes, we can go into an executive session. But that's a decision and a judgment to be made by the board at that point. I don't think we should be buffaloed into going into a secret session on something when this has been distributed, trumpeted publicly in a way that's very destructive and that has that's causing serious damage to this foundation. So I think we owe it, as I said, to our listeners, to our members, and to the greater community to have this discussion about finances in a transparent and honest manner. Thank you.
Let's see what happened.
He doesn't need a mic.
Some months ago, and I forget how many months ago, it was announced at a KPFA board meeting that KPFA had received a $400,000.
Wait.
No, I'm not out of order.
All right, let me make the decision.
I am not out of order because I'm speaking to the issue of executive session.
I'm sorry, Jack, I have to respond to, did you make a point of order, Andrew?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're for the sake of time, that we're on the motion. The question is whether or not to divide, okay. Not to discuss the substance of the motion itself.
No, that.
The topic of the executive session.
No.
Take up time, ladies and gentlemen. Please proceed, Jack.
This is on the question of whether an executive session is appropriate. What is it that has to be kept secret or confidential? We all know, because we all were sitting here, that $400,000 was given as a bequest to KPFA. The people on this board, including the people affiliated with United for Community Radio, talked about that bequest for KPFA and talked about using that money for KPFA improvements. We subsequently learned that a good portion of that money had been taken by Pacifica to pay the expenses of other stations in Pacifica. No, you cannot gesture while I'm talking.
And Jack, tie it to the motion.
No,
for executive
so
please.
There is a question. So all of this is public. All of this is known. There is a policy issue at stake here of how bequests to different stations in the network shall be used. That's the issue. The issue has nothing to do with personnel matters. It has nothing to do with secrecy. It is a policy issue. And everybody, including the people who are circulating this information, are taking what is well known and in the public record of KPFA board and making it into a Benghazi hearing. And that's appropriate to the politics of those people.
All right. I will just remark that I'm hearing arguments repeated that I've heard before. Jose Luis, you have the floor.
Call the question.
Question has been called. If I correct me if I'm wrong, this calls for an immediate vote on
yes.
the call for the question.
It was supposed to come from somebody who was recognized by the chair.
I recognize her. Hi.
I'd like to call the question.
Let's do this.
Second.
Yeah, I got
second.
It. Second. Ladies and gentlemen, just please relax. All those in favor of calling the question, anybody opposed to calling the question? Hearing none, the question has been called.
Yay.
Okay. And will the secretary remind me of what we've been arguing? It's an executive session. All those in favor,
let me just remind us that we've already approved that it will be a 1:30 time certain following the two reports. That's going to happen. This is whether it will be in executive session or open session.
Point of information.
How does this affect the 1 o'clock item we already put in as a time certain? Because now we've got two items that are sort of conflicting. Because I have a feeling that may issue. And okay. So this is this. Okay.
Okay.
Point of information.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's. Help me, where are we? Is it?
You're asking for the vote.
Although, okay, thanks.
Point on point of information.
No, the question has been called.
Point of information.
Okay, so you said this is a vote on either executive session or public session. So what does a yes vote mean? What does a no vote mean, please?
Thank you.
The yes vote is for executive session.
Motion. Says executive session, so
that's the yes vote.
That's the yes vote. A yes would be to hold it in executive session. A no would be to commence at least. And I'm making acknowledgement of people's concerns.
Thanks for clarification.
In open session, and the board can see where we go from there. All those in favor of that portion of Janet's motion, which is to hold it in executive session, please raise your hand. One.
And
all those opposed.
Yes. So all of that conversation was wasted time.
This is yes. Okay.
Wait a minute. Yes.
On order.
We're just counting no.
That's correct. All abstentions. The motion of the decision of the board is that we start off in open session.
On order.
Yes,
please
sir.
Please take a vote on approving the agenda.
I beg your pardon?
Please take a vote on approving the agenda as amended.
Mr. Secretary.
Are there any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. So the agenda as amended now is to hold at 1:30, time certain, following the general manager's report and the treasurer's report, the item of the bequest. And my understanding is that that still leaves item 16 unchanged. Is that correct? Okay, so we're adding another item. We're inserting an item at 1:30, time certain. So that's the current state of the agenda, and that's what we'll be voting on.
Any objections to that modification of the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda as modified has been approved by this body, and I thank you all. One exercise I would like to suggest to everyone who would like to shout directions to whoever is chairing is that we try an experiment that we pass the chair microphone around to everyone for a five-minute stint. Otherwise, let the person you have sentenced to be chair do his or her job. Okay, can I have the agenda, please? Minutes, back to you, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, I have been working diligently to catch up on the minutes that have been languishing from previous meetings, and I am sorry it's taken so long to get them to the board. I distributed minutes for July, August, and September meetings, and we can vote on those. I want to just note here that I still owe the board minutes for January, and in searching my records, it appears that we have minutes from February and April meetings, both of which I were not present at, that are still in draft form and need to be approved. So I'm hoping we can get those collected and approved formally at the next month's meeting.
I have a question.
Question?
Microphone. Please. Microphone.
Okay. The minutes that you distributed this morning were the same ones that were attached to the agenda that you sent out? You sent
no.
It? No.
No, I have not distributed this by email yet.
Got it. Thank you.
Virginia?
It looks to me like July and August are exactly the same here. Or they're enough the same that it seems like there might be a mistake.
I don't even have July. Oh, yes, I do. Take it back.
Not with my copies.
Look.
Oh, no, they're different. They're very different.
Did that really come up at
all? What? We had a lot of issues carrying over from meeting to meeting.
As usual.
So it's yeah. Okay, so are there any objections if we take these up in order?
No.
Andrea, you had your hand up?
Microphone.
Mr. Chair, I understand that the Secretary is a volunteer position, and I appreciate his efforts to get the minutes together. However, I feel like we are at a grave disadvantage to be given three sets of minutes covering, this is 4 months because we didn't have, we're having to really reach back into our memories. The point of minutes is to lend a certain continuity from meeting to meeting. They're a tool that we use to inform our current discussions and help us to be consistent and follow through. To be given three sets of minutes, moments before and not even an electronic copy prior to, if I actually began with that. And while I understand that it's a donation of service, I also know that this body would be well served to have timely minutes, and if there's any way that we can share the responsibilities, if there's any way that we can help to produce timely minutes, I would encourage the Secretary to avail himself of offers of assistance so that we can have timely minutes that are come to us prior to the meeting so that we can actually improve the quality of our meetings.
I would like to point out to the members of this board that I began my service here as an appointee back in January of 2011, and I have provided minutes reliably and above the standard. These minutes record actions taken, and I have done my best not only to record actions taken but reports made for the benefit of the board and for the benefit of the community, and I've done that reliably since January of 2011. Now, this year, I had some extraordinary family difficulties, health issues, and so forth, that prevented my participation on the board and that have caused the backup of these minutes. And I have apologized to the board, and I'm well aware of the responsibility of the Secretary of the board. And I do not appreciate the lecture from some of the members on this. I have done my best, and if you would prefer to have more time to consider these, I'm happy to have these considered at the December meeting. But please don't lecture me.
The board has a choice. We could talk about this or we could move on. I see the following people who would like to speak to this. Barbara? Virginia, I apologize. Aging brain. And what is your name? Mrs. Wilkinson? Anybody else? Okay. Barbara, you've got the floor. Virginia, you're next. Margie, you're next.
I really don't think it is worthwhile to object to this untimely presentation of minutes, although it is something we would like to have on time, because minutes can be changed at any time later. If you read through the minutes and you find something you object to, you can bring those minutes to the next meeting or the meeting whenever you have finished your review and ask that something be corrected. And in the meantime, if you feel uncomfortable approving minutes, you can abstain. There is no reason to make a big issue out of this in this manner.
Virginia.
Okay, I know I didn't make this move for the Lou Hill Foundation at two meetings, which is the thing that caught my eye. So it's in both of the August and July minutes. I don't remember whether I brought it up in July or August, but I know I didn't bring it up in both. So that's what made me think that there was a mistake in this. And I'd just like to say I do appreciate you, Craig. I think you've done a really great job overall with the minutes. But I would kind of like to wait another month to approve these.
Thank you. Margie? Take a mic, please. Mic for Margie.
I move that we postpone the approval of minutes to the December meeting.
That's a is there a second?
Second?
I hear a second.
Thank you for catching that.
Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, now let's move.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen who are here for announcements, your time has come. Would somebody, Jose Luis, could you help me, please?
Announcements are at the LSB.
That's the LSB making announcements. The speakers is the next item.
I screwed up again.
No, that's all right. It's not.
This is the. Get ready. You're going to be called on next time, folks. Announcements from the board. Thank you very much. Margie.
The KPFA Winter Crafts Fair will be held the weekend of December 19th and 20th, and they're soliciting volunteers to work at the Crafts Fair. There are lots of jobs, lots of interesting things to do, and the good thing about being a volunteer is that you get to be there and see all the beautiful things that you can't afford and eat some really good food. I encourage people to do it. It's as Lewis says, it's part of being a member of the family when you participate in the Winter Crafts Fair. You can contact Jan Etri at the station if you want to sign up. It's also available. The ability to volunteer is on the webpage.
I see Virginia on announcements. Joy, I missed a hand down there.
Cynthia,
thank you. And anybody else? Right now, it is Virginia, Joy, and Cynthia. Virginia, you have the floor.
Just to remind you, there's an election going on for the KPFA board. For some reason or another, the election supervisor, the ballots went out very late with a mistake in how to vote. Almost no announcements on the air. No surprise there, as we know that the inside staff members there try to prevent it. And this local election supervisor seems to just take their word over everything. So there's almost no publicity about it. I hope people who didn't get their ballots will try to contact contact LSB members if they can't get to the election supervisors, which some people say they haven't been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Troy.
Okay. So I'm cross-pollinating here. This month marks the one-year anniversary of the historic passage of the first soda tax ever in this country, and there's going to be an event Friday, November 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ecology Center. It's going to be a short film highlighting the work of the soda tax, and there'll be a place for discussion and forum about how the money's being spent. So that's the Ecology Center, 2530 San Pablo Avenue, Friday, November 20th, 6 o'clock.
Thank you. Cynthia?
Briefly, the next day, Saturday the 21st, I'm sure we're all aware of the climate change rally that will be at Lake Merritt starting at 10:30. Later that evening at the Berkeley Fellowship, we have a very fine classical musician who will be doing a benefit for Palestinian children, and that will go totally to that cause through Mecca. So that's one. And then on the 22nd Sunday, this is all next weekend, World in Danger from Fukushima to California with Joanna Macy and Arnie Gunderson, Sunday evening at 7 at the Berkeley Fellowship, 1924 Cedarette Bonita. All for now.
Thank you. I'm about ready to move on to public comments. Is there? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen who have joined us, I have the list, which, forgive me if I misread your name, Mickey Mazes? Mays, sorry. And then J.C. Hollad, Daniel Borgstrom, and Vita Aronson.
Hello, my name is Mickey. I am a co-director.
I beg your pardon? Three minutes per person. Thank you.
I am a co-director of the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. I'm here because there may have been some misinformation presented during the last LSB meeting. So first, I want to point out the apprentices, the graduate apprentices, who participate and support the station. They are as follows. Three graduates are regular members of the new staff. About one quarter of the station board operators are First Voice graduates. Graduate apprentice Vilma Ortiz just hosted an event with Sandra Cisnernos. We have three graduates on the LSB. Our graduate Felix Lee is the Crafts Fair volunteer coordinator. A number of graduates are KPFA programmers, and we have a passel of folks who program KPFB. Antonio Ortiz, who left a short while ago, was a key member of the engineering department. What other department in the station has such multifaceted representation in the station? A lot of people think that the station is running better now because it has a full management team. Can I get somebody to assist me? We have a full management team. We have the general manager full-time. We have a full-time program director. We have a full-time business manager. And we have two virtually full-time co-directors of the news department. Strong hand, strong team. First Voice had a strong team once upon a time. We had a lead segment editor. We had a segment producer. We had a technical director and two half-time training directors. None of us were full-time. Then the powers that be decided, goodbye. This person wasn't needed. Why do we need this staff member? Technical director, let's cut that person as well. So the three of us had to trudge along for a long time, just try to hold things together. And then somebody else in their wisdom decided, a department that handles 12 to 20 people at a time doesn't need a full-time training director. Okay, that person goes as well. How well would you be able to function with just one finger and a nub in continuing your duties? How well? So, a lot of juggling and adjustment had to take place. Frank had to take on some of the duties of this missing person and continue his own duties. And to this day, he still gets less than half of a half of an employee. And it used to be, it still may be, that news reporters get more hours than I do to manage a department of at least
a dozen people. Yet some people say, why can't the apprentices do this? Why aren't the apprentices doing more? So that's what we're facing. And yes, the general manager did ask me some time ago to come to KPFA staff meetings. And at that time, I pointed out to him that my juggling proficiency wasn't that high, particularly since I am now the primary caregiver for my disabled brother since my mom died. So when it comes to attending staff meetings or putting my brother in the hands of somebody that I don't know, family's going to win every time. Moreover, somebody else could be paid a few hours a week to come to those staff meetings and help fill in some of those gaps. You are getting the station's getting a wonderful return with the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, and for a few dollars more, you can get an even better return. So, okay, so you have a gem. You have a gem. Okay. He's yielding his time.
I'm
The next person to speak in the public, I beg pardon?
I'd like to ask that the board give the speaker an additional 2 minutes to complete her presentation.
There is an objection. Let me alert the board that I thoroughly sympathize with the motion, but we have business to attend. The rule of the board is that we are limited. Speakers and the board are limited to 3 minutes. I now call on...
Point of order.
Okay. There's a motion made to extend by Andrea Hanalong.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. All those, and there's been a second?
Yes.
All those in favor? I'm sorry, is there any objection?
Yes, you already asked.
There is an objection. I'm sorry, folks. We have to vote. All those in favor of extending, please raise your hand. All those opposed? All those abstention? You have the 2 minutes. Please continue.
In conclusion, the station has received a wonderful return by investing in the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. For a few dollars more, a win-win situation, that return can be boosted. We have eked along with the support of a lot of amazing people, and a lot of amazing people have come through the program, so much so that beginning next year, our senior apprentices can actually have the option of interning with other departments in the station as long as those internships are offered equitably and fairly. You have a gem in the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. Why not polish it? Thank you.
The next speaker, thank you very much, and thank you for your patience with me. J.C. Hollard.
That's me. So I was actually planning on yielding my time to Ms. M to finish her presentation. But now that I do have the floor, I would just like to say that I was speaking to some other apprentices about the, of course, I believe to support the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. I was speaking about improving and how the First Voice Apprenticeship Program can, is as Ms. M said, a gem to the station and can help to support and to improve the station. We did a whole show last night on our show, Full Circle, about how the apprenticeship program, how KPFB is used to as a training ground, as a proving ground for apprentices to grow and hone their craft and hone their skill after the apprenticeship program is over, in hopes to improve KPFA and to continue to provide quality programming for KPFA. And considering that is kind of the purpose of the KPFB programming block on Saturdays and Sundays, I, of course, would recommend and believe in supporting the apprenticeship program as Ms. Sim said, it is a gem that needs to be polished, and it is a needs a tourniquet and has fingers that are missing and all kinds of things like that, all kinds of great metaphors. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Daniel Borgstrom.
Hello, my name is Daniel Borgstrom. Excuse me if I sound a bit out of breath. I came rushing up here. Well, that was almost an hour ago now, but it's with some breaking news regarding the Hull Trust. There is the question, you know, the $400,000, which was taken or accepted or whatever by KPFA last summer and enabling it to cancel the summer fund drive. Anyway, the question is, what was the intention of that person? Was it to send it to the Pacifica National Office or to send it to KPFA? Well, this is a question which I decide to investigate with professional help. Now, in this case, this person who made the bequest is dead. Dead and gone. Seriously dead. So what kind of how do you investigate that? Obviously, with a seance. Now, so I went to a professional medium. Now, this professional medium, I mean, this is all going to be done very professionally. This person has resolved several historical puzzles over the years, including the Jack the Ripper case, the murder of the nephews by alleged murder by King Richard III, and the JFK assassination. Well, in this case, I brought to her this Hull Trust. And naturally, being a professional, I figured this would cost a lot of money. I did get a senior discount on this. Now the result is that this person, regardless of what she said in this person who made the $400,000 bequest, regardless of what she said in or was said in the on the papers, really, after death, decided to send it to KPFA. So the people who took it over are acting in her interest. That's not the answer I would have wished, but that's the answer from the dead, again, in a very professional seance. Thank you.
Thank you. Vita Aronson?
Hi, good afternoon. So I'm also a KPFA First Voice apprentice and here to support the program, of course, and talk about how you all can support the program. I'll mention that a couple weeks ago, the apprenticeship program was commended specifically and called out specifically for our work on our Halloween show on Full Circle by the program coordinator, Laura Privis. That's her title, right? Program director, thank you. And put on and highlighted on the KPFA front page of the website. And so that's a recent accomplishment of ours that we're really proud of, contributed to by many apprentices, both people who are in their second year as well as new folks who started a few months ago. We have a lot of reach. We have a lot of connections to the larger media world in the Bay Area as well. We're learning a lot, and we really appreciate KPFA. We know that we love supporting KPFA with our fundraisers when we do things like parking lot sales and also fund drive shows. We are happy to send our monies and to give our monies to the station. And I think that it's really important to support this, as Ms. M was saying, this gem of a program we have here at the station. I know that I personally will be contributing further to the station. I have in lots of ways contributed to Women's Magazine, flashpoints, and I will be working on International Women's Day coming up in March. So there are lots of ways that we are already reaching out to the larger station community, and I can tell you I don't feel like we're getting as much back as we could be. In a lot of ways, the executives that operate and are the people who decide about our program and how much money we get, how many resources we get, don't do a lot of communication with us. And it does feel like there is opposition or tension or hostility toward our program, toward our directors and executives of our program. And I know that exists. I don't know the details of it, but I'm sure you all have heard about that. So I'll just mention that that it is a struggle for us, and we would appreciate more support from the LSB. Thank you.
Thank you. There's one more person on the list, but I would like to observe for the record that the reason that we have a sound system today was through the assistance of the apprenticeship folks helping Frank, and I'd like to thank them all very much. I'm going to screw up your name, sir, so please say who you are.
Buenos dias. I'm Josiah Luis Alderete.
Thank you.
I'm one of the apprentices in the First Voice, and I just want to take up a little bit of your time and sort of reinforce what you've already heard about the apprenticeship program. The apprenticeship program for KPFA, the way I see it, is one of the only things that still provides real diversity to the station. We give new blood. We give a lot. There's a long line of people that have gone ahead to other services, other radio stations, and it's like Ms. M says, it's a gem. It's a part of the station that has people from working communities. I got a 9-to-5, and I'm working there. A lot of the people from there are plugged into the communities. They're not just part of a meeting that comes and talks about stuff. These are people that are part, that are out there working, and they do need your support. If you could see how much people like Frank and Miss M do with the little bit that they got, I mean, I can't even get into it without getting pissed off. But I really hope that you guys consider what Miss M says and take care of this program. It's been around for so long, and there's such a legacy in the station. You know, KPFA is supposed to be the people's station. I don't know how that is anymore. I see us representing that, but I walk through those halls and I don't see that anymore. And you all really need to pay attention to what they're saying. Take care of this thing. It's been around for so long. It's helped so many people. And like Vika said, the programs that we've done, you know, in the past couple of weeks, we're representing the Bay Area. You know, we're not just, it's important. It really is. So I hope that you all think about it, really think about what they said, and you think about that glove. Without them fingers, it's not a joke. Gracias.
Thank you very much, sir. We are now ready to move to the general manager's report.
And can I just offer one point of information?
Point of information.
I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to thank the folks who came, and I also wanted you to know that.
Your question is?
I'm offering some information. If you check the September minutes of the meeting, some of us tried, Virginia Browning here, tried to pass the budget with the proviso that, you know, our news department gets Reuters and AP news services at a cost of, somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 each. And so we tried to cut one of those and have that
point
money move towards the apprenticeship
order,
program, but it was failed by the board majority.
Point of order.
Point of order.
In the past...
Pardon me?
In the past, I have been told very directly that it is completely out of order for members of the board to comment on or respond to people speaking in public comment.
Right.
So I would like that noted.
Thank you, Jack. We are now in the general manager's report, and I would like to pass the microphone over.
Thank you. No.
I want to start by talking about some of the programming changes that we've done just over the last 24 hours because of the Paris situation. The news coverage has been extensive on the website. Chris Welch's show this morning has been moved up on the website so that we can keep that subject top of mind at the radio station. The Democratic debate that's happening tonight, we weren't really going to cover it, but now that they've changed the topic to include the Paris attacks, we're going to be preempting a show tonight at 8 o'clock, and we'll be running it from 8 until 10. And then, of course, we'll have more coverage on Monday at 7 and at 8 and at 10 o'clock. But unfortunately, this week, the Pacific Archives Fund Drive begins on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we're trying to negotiate with them to have some time for we can bring in news inserts and public affairs shows, if necessary, to continue to stay on top of this because of our audience. They kind of this is when they come to us. This is when KPFA is very, very important. So we're trying to negotiate that with them right now. For the GM report, let me get to the fund drive in September, October. Our goal was $540,000. We met that goal on the last day of the drive. The additional online promotions, we had garnered another $26,000 in pledges. So our total was around $566,949 for the fall fund drive. We're at 70% fulfillment on those donations, which is pretty good and right on track. And we're at 80% fulfillment in getting the premium sent out. The subscriptions department is pretty confident they'll have all the premiums in the hands of everybody by December. 20% of the donors in the fall were new donors, which is very exciting for us. And 25% of the donors rejoined after donating in the first year, which is also fun. This year in fundraising, our fundraising campaign rolls out in five different actions this time. The end of the year theme is called Foster Real Change. We are simultaneously promoting back to change agents, most of the speakers and a lot of the events that we did during the year and some of the special shows that we did during the year to let our audience know that, you know, that we were there for them and that we were covering these things. And we're also talking about the elections for 2016 and how we want to expand our coverage. Those are some of the points that we'll be pointing into as we move ahead with this. First of the five is our year in appeal letter, which is already out. You've probably seen it in your mailbox. It's a one-pager that reminds listeners why KPFA matters and why we're deserving of their support this holiday season. A second is the KPFA year-end fund drive. It begins December 8th and will end on December 18th. We're excited about the prospects of this drive because we had such a great lineup of speakers during the fall, and we're going to be using those as premiums. Yeah, we expect those things to do really well because so many of our shows were sold out. And this will be an opportunity for the audience to purchase those premiums and hear those speakers for themselves. And also it saves us money because this is all in-house production through Bob Aldock's program. We record those things ourselves. We can produce the tapes ourselves downstairs. Saves us a lot of money instead of buying premiums. Third is our Cars for Cash campaign. We're again doing it again this holiday season, taking advantage of the year-end tax deductions for car exchanges. We're offering a $25 gas card like we did last time. It was very successful, and we continue to promote the cars all year long. Just last month alone, we brought in $7,000 in car donations money, so it's something that's beginning to work for us. And last but not least is the Crafts Fair that runs December 19th and 20th. This event, as we know, generates large crowds. And like the summer fair, we're going to have a KPFA lounge again. We tried it last summer, and it worked out fairly well where we had programmers and management were there to meet and greet our listeners. We're also going to have a legacy bequest person, the one that we work with, will be there, too, to talk to people about bequests and how to do them for KPFA. Also on the website, we've got some website improvements that we're working on. We've talked about how the website has to continue to evolve into the 21st century. This time we're getting a new donation and database system that we want to start and remove Memphis, which is quite antiquated, as a customer relation management service. We're thinking about using Salesforce. They have a nonprofit division at Salesforce that works with nonprofits, gives you good rates, and helps you customize your system for exactly what you want. The analytics of Salesforce will help provide our station with better interaction with donors, potential donors, and existing donors in ways that are more accountable on how we want and need to interact with our listeners. In terms of difference, it's day and night. The app that makes Salesforce provides, it really does offer an endless amount of customization, which would really help us because we are quite unique as the radio station. And we're looking forward to using that. In addition, Salesforce and WordPress, which is the back end of our website, work really, really well together. So we'll be able to improve the donation page on the website where people can go there and buy stuff all year long. We'll be able to set up promotions on the website and sell things all year long that we're doing without being on the air doing it. So it can be a constant revenue flow for the radio station. We also just did a soft launch of the podcasting page. It's called Area 941. We're just testing it. We wanted to see what it looks like. We're testing the back end of it. Like we said about podcasting earlier, many of these GM reports, it's very important for us to have that additional programming from the community that we can get and do it through podcasting, different voices on the air talking about community issues and things like that. So this is one of the ways that we want to do it, and we want to try to get that out there, and hopefully this podcast section could be something that we can talk about and promote during the fall, the winter drive in February, and point our audience to it. The audience always seems to respond better when they know exactly where the money is going at KPFA. That's it. No, we changed that procedure. I'll talk directly to the person with the question.
Okay, thank you. Let me record this. I'm going down Jose Luis. I'm just going down the table. I see Virginia. Sorry, I'll get to that side in a moment. Janet, anybody else? Okay, back to the other table. Anybody here? All right, right now, Jose Luis, Virginia, and Janet.
Thank you, Quincy, for your report. I have two questions. One is with the Spanish language programming, and like to know if that's even being implemented or how it's what's happening with the Spanish language programming that the PMB passed at the in-person meeting in Los Angeles, if that's taking effect, adding more hours for Spanish language programming. And the second thing is, I would like to know if you and the other general managers at the other stations have been discussing the financial situation of Pacifica in general and how all the stations come up with a plan on how to prevent any sales of the Pacifica National Office building.
Okay. The second question first. Yeah, we talk about the state of Pacifica every Wednesday now. Lydia has the GM meeting has been moved to Wednesdays. Basically, everybody gets on there and kind of, you know, cries and whines and whimpers. There's not much of a rainbow for the other stations. A lot of them have gotten themselves into situations where they're either fundraising all the time, and it's way past the point of diminishing returns. So it's really not working. There's no real plan, unfortunately. We don't have an executive director that should be, you know, formulating the type of plan that we need to get these people out of these situations. So we're kind of floating right now, and everybody's kind of like just hustling on their own to try to make payroll, basically. And a lot of them are always in danger of making payroll almost every week. And as you can see, KPFA has paid a lot of payrolls for a lot of people. Los Angeles alone owes us $72,500, I think it is. It's pretty tight for all of them. Your first question about the Spanish language thing, that kind of fell off the table right after John Prophet left. We offered a Spanish language idea that we had to run a show between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. Some of our people got together and we came together with a program for a Spanish language program that we could do. The second backup program that we have now, we're still waiting. That's kind of fallen off the table because of the financial situation at most stations, so nobody's really talking about that right now. Vilma, who just left the apprenticeship program and took the general manager's job at KBBF in Santa Rosa, and I have been in discussions about using some Spanish language programming from that radio station for KPFA. When it ever happens that resolution's ever going to get picked back up and go into action. And it could be used maybe nationally, too, for all the stations. That's the ideal situation. We're trying to figure out a way to do a program that everybody could run and everybody could use. So it's still basically in discussion, but not on top of the priority list right now.
Thank you. Virginia. Hi. I know that the governance structure, I believe strongly that it needs to be changed a lot. I appreciate a lot of people feeling that way. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of discussion in community about doing that, which I think needs to happen. And so what happens is for years and years during these elections, a few people at the station take it upon themselves to completely close out almost all information about the fact that an election's going on for the board. You may or may not like it. I may or may not like exactly how it's done, but I totally don't appreciate, and this year is really bad. I would like to know. I mean, my tendency based on years way before you were here is to think that there are a few people at the station kind of speaking into the election supervisor's ear, telling her how to do things. For example, some people from our side had their questions thrown into the trash and were told they were insiders, whereas the people at the station have her ear all the time. They're insiders, right? So why, okay, there are no educational cards being played now at all for people to know that an election's going on, and it doesn't have to be boring. Or carts with our information from the candidates. It doesn't have to be boring. I mean, lots of things about the general election go on. I don't appreciate this. I run into people in the community. They don't know anything about anybody because they never hear it on the air. And I'd like to know why none of these educational carts or candidate carts are being played at all.
Oh, they're being played all the time. We get a schedule from the national election person, and we have to keep a grid of those and pass those in every week to the national office so that everybody can see that the carts were played. Everything is done automatically through our systems. It's all done. I think we do a better job than anybody. In Los Angeles, they don't even have a local election person there. They haven't found her in 2 weeks. We have one. We gave her an office downstairs, and she's doing the best she can possibly do. As far as people whispering in her ear, it's our job not to get involved with the election process as management. I barely know the woman, and I keep it that way. That's the way it should be. I don't care about the election in that way. I don't want to be involved in that stuff. So I stay away from her, and I don't have people in my office whispering in her ear. I don't know about other people or programmers and all that kind of stuff. That's not my concern. I'm just talking about my own management team. So I don't know anything about those accusations you just brought up.
The next person is Janet. Do you want to be on the list?
Yes.
Margie is added. Janet, you are recognized.
Thank you. So you referred to advances to other units from KPFA, but on October 29th at the PNB executive session,
when the $400,000 Hall Trust bequest money was discussed, where the check was made out to Pacifica Foundation Radio, not KPFA. The issue was settled by the PNB that the money belonged to Pacifica. And a motion was passed requiring by November 4th that the KPFA GM and interim controller submit produce an accounting with documentation. There were three other things listed. An accounting was submitted to the chair, or the IED, who shared it with the PNB. And so basically, the KPFA advances are not advances. They're not loans. They are Pacifica. It's Pacifica that is that basically laid out that money. So
is there a question?
KPFA, yes. KPFA is not going to be repaid. So I, among the other items, and I'm going to distribute the report from both the interim controller and from the KPFA business manager. One question is, have you and the interim controller, Efren Larinas, revised the repayment plan? And if so, when will you share it with the LSB? Have you revised the 2016 KPFA budget per the motion? And if so, when will you share it with the LSB? And since your planning assumedly had an expectation that KPFA would be repaid some or all of its advances made to other Pacifica units, how has your planning changed?
Here's the mic.
Margie. I don't know what it is.
Margie.
Margie, you are recognized.
Okay. I have a document that I want to share with the board. Maria has been ill the last couple of days, so we weren't sure she was going to be here. I got this from her yesterday, and I want to pass it out. It's a summary that Maria has prepared of the central services. That's the exchange of money between the stations and the national office. And I have enough copies of the summary for the audience. The copies for the board have backup pages attached, which people who know how to read this stuff will know how to read. Okay, so this is now we're doing competing documents here. Okay, I'm handing them out.
Would you pass that out? And,
yes.
Am I asking the general manager to respond while you're passing out, interfere with
absolutely
either of you?
Not at all.
Please continue.
Yes, we did a revised plan. We have it here. We can pass that out, too, if you want. That money was for KPFA. I'm sorry that you're misinformed or you're looking at the information wrongly. I can give a long, extensive answer about that, but I don't think we really need to now because we are going to talk about this again later. Am I correct?
Yep.
So when the rubber really hits the road, we can talk about this.
Marty, does that take care of your request for speaking?
Yeah.
At least you have the floor as soon as you can work your way to a mic.
My question was to Quincy about the apprenticeship program. We heard a very moving report from many of the apprentices. One of the things I noticed in the report was that the director of the apprenticeship program talked about apprentices being used as interns in various departments at KPFA starting at the beginning of the year, and I was very heartened by that because it's something I have felt for a long time was important, and I was just wondering if you had any comments on that.
It's the first time I've heard of it. I mean, I sent a notice out to her last March asking for us to get together to put together a plan. Actually, I put together a proposal. I sent it to Frank. Frank also has it now after the last meeting to put together a plan to indeed use apprentices as interns in different departments and for different shows. I am very happy that it's been mentioned, and hopefully we can set up a time to start doing that, because it's ludicrous to have those people walking around the building and not helping out when, boy, we could sure use help in every department because we're shorthanded. With all the massive layoffs that have been at the radio station in the past, a lot of departments have been hurt, including the apprenticeship program. I'm sure, you know, they could use more manpower, too. But, you know, the radio station is in still a tight financial situation, so that's why the apprenticeship program and helping out would be very helpful.
Thank you.
Okay, nobody else is on the list. We are now on the item 8. And my memory has been jogged. In the September meeting, we set up a 5-person committee. Three of those folks are here. The committee, to remind us all, Lewis Sawyer, Carol Travis, Joy Moore, Andrea Pritchett, and Brian Edwards-Tiegert, and three are here. Does the committee have a report? Joy Moore, you're recognized.
The committee has not met. There was an attempt to organize a committee meeting with a timely notice, but a couple of people on the committee felt that the fund drive would make it difficult for them to attend the committee meetings. Now we are in the process, I hope. I was hoping to talk to Carol today of trying to set up a meeting, but nothing's happened on that side.
Okay, thank you for that update. Treasurer's report, which I think is in the process of... I'm sorry, Janet. I didn't see your hand.
Right, so I'm wondering, I don't remember seeing a copy of the general manager job description, which I think would be appropriate to use in the evaluation. So
it should go to
can that be distributed by somebody to the LSB?
Since we have a committee instructed for that purpose specifically, that request is not referred by the chair to the committee. Margie. Mike.
The general manager job description is available on the Pacific website.
Did everybody hear that? It is available, currently available on the Pacific website. Okay, that brings us to item number 9, and I'm really trying to make... A request has been made for a break before the treasurer's report. How long? Ten-minute break. We're very close to hitting our 1:30 deadline. Let's accommodate the request of the treasurer for a break. 10 minutes from now, let's reconvene. 25 past the hour by that clock.